Are you an insider? Subscribe to FC Insiders today to receive full unedited interviews, news, rumors, exclusive content, and more. Join FC Insiders at futurecommerce.fm. Future Commerce is brought to you by PayPal. Did you realize that mobile shoppers spend 39% more time but less money on commerce websites compared to their desktop counterparts? There's a significant opportunity to improve mobile conversion rates while delivering a better buying experience. That is why PayPal has collaborated with 15 Magento system integrators and High Conversion to uncover what changes help and hurt the mobile checkout experience. For details on the program, learnings to date, and how to get involved, visit mobileoptimize.org today.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex is the leader of tax technology solutions and services for corporations worldwide. They're trusted by over half of the Fortune 500. Vertex Cloud meets sales and use tax solutions for businesses of all kinds. Visit them online today at vertexsmb.com.
Welcome to Future Commerce, the podcast about cutting-edge and next-generation commerce. I'm Brian.
And I'm Philip.
And today we are live again from the Shop Talk Marketplace floor here in Las Vegas.
Yeah. Wow. Day two, Shop Talk. Can I just say for a second that there's like... Have you seen the new How to Train Your Dragon 3?
Not yet.
There's sort of like a riff on Tribbles. You know the Star Trek Tribbles
where they just multiply
like crazy? So there's this dragon that multiplies like crazy. I feel like that's payment providers in 2019, is that we have...
Payment solutions.
Trouble with Tribbles, but our Tribbles are all payment. And like 90% of the new faces are all fractional payment.
There's a lot of them.
Fractional payment providers are like... Is there an industry term for that? I think there should be.
It's like, there probably is.
Yeah, multi-pay.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Some interesting ones. Like, we do know some people in the space, and...
Hey, PayPal.
Yeah.
PayPal Credit.
I mean, that's it right there. Others that don't require a credit pull, others that use interesting sort of social beacons, which are, you know, kind of interesting new tech. But that's, you know, it's if I had to say there's one thing that's taken me by surprise walking the show floor.
It's the free haircuts.
Did you really? Is there a free haircut? Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Tell me about a free haircut, Brian. Did you get a free haircut?
No, I didn't get it. I got my haircut before I came. Why did I do that? It was a waste of money.
That blows my mind, actually. You can take all the money that you're probably saving on the haircut, and you can put that right back into your payment provider solution.
Exactly.
You can build out another payment provider.
There was a beard trimming. There's a massage station.
But massages, I have a problem.
Makeup stations.
I have a big problem with like personal hygiene stuff, and like you shouldn't be cutting hair in a. It's just unsanitary. That's just wrong. I had the same exact reaction. So my wife and I watched Free Solo a couple nights ago. Have you seen this movie?
I haven't, but I heard about it.
Yeah, so it's Alex Honnold, rock star climber. It's now an Oscar award-winning documentary. Just a gripping documentary. But there's this scene as he's like getting ready to free solo, free rider on El Capitan. And the night before, his girlfriend is giving him the worst haircut that I've ever seen. And I'm like, listen, I know you're cheap, right? Like, they get that right out the gate. Like, this guy lives a simple life. He doesn't even own dishes. He, like, cooks, like, canned chili and eggs and spinach and sweet potato in a skillet and eats it with, like, a spatula. That is who we're talking about.
Delicious.
And he has his own haircut. I mean... Maybe it's for the Alex Honnolds of the world that come to Shop Talk. They need to get a haircut, and they don't want to pay for a haircut.
I feel like he could probably give a talk here, and it would fit in pretty well.
I bet that guy's going to run the conference circuit for the rest of his life.
Yeah, like, definitely.
He's going to be the, you know, he'll be a keynote speaker at pretty much every e-commerce show, you know, in the next 10 years. I hope he aims higher than that. Okay, anyway.
But I feel like he's aimed about as high as he can.
Oh, benumcha. So he, What's really interesting is the puppies. So we saw puppies at NRF, and there's like everybody's doing puppies. Puppies, you know what? You know what we should actually do? Let's bring in our resident analyst, our puppy analyst. Actually, our director of content and all-around awesome person, and who's rocking the show floor and making us look and sound smart.
All Leanne those Hyken. Great tweets are from Leanne. Yes.
Yeah, Leanne, introduce yourself.
I think resident puppy enthusiast sounds like the best job title ever. can we go back and change my business card?
I like it, yes. So tell us about your experience at Shop Talk. This is your first Shop Talk.
Oh, it is. It is my first Shop Talk. I'm wondering if my phone is working.
Yeah, can you stop touching it? That helps. Move it up a little bit. Let's do that.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, and there. Yep.
Perfect.
Okay. It's like Future Commerce behind the scenes.
Yes, life. It is. It is Future Commerce.
We're going to keep that in. Yeah. We're going to keep that in.
This is good. So tell me what you think about Shop Talk. Is it sort of overwhelming? Is it something that's, you know, is it what you expected?
I think we should have brought a puppy along as the mascot. I'm just saying. Yeah. Anyway. it's so fun. It is kind of overwhelming. There's a lot of people here. I think, what is it, 8,000 or 8,500 people in all the emails I got sent. And a lot of opportunities to win prizes. I got all of those emails, too. Thank you, Shop Talk. Yeah. And thank you, Shop Talk, for amplifying all of our tweets, because that's really cool.
Yes.
Yeah, they're very engaged on social, and they're helping extend our voice a lot. Any brands that you're interested in that have been here at the show?
Yeah, we actually did a live interview with Stylytics. So cool. They have this live interactive, I don't know if we call it a display, but you basically, the way it works is it's a screen and it's interactive. So you can basically curate your outfits. This is not live yet. This is something that they're going to be putting out live in all of the retailers they work with. They work with everyone. They work with Dormy, they work with Banana Republic and Loft and all of the companies that I'm personally obsessed with. I'm literally wearing all Loft right now. shout out to the store that I spent all my money in. And you can basically curate the outfit like in the store, which is so cool. And I asked them if they were only working with women retailers.
Yeah.
Because me and Brian had this conversation about how women retailers have all the fun. But no, they are working with both. They're working with all these different companies.
So brands that, you know, have both sort of a female-centric clothing line and others. Any talks or any keynotes that you found particularly impressive?
Levi's.
I thought so, too.
Yeah.
I really got a lot out of that one. Tell me what you thought about the Levi's.
Okay, so I like denim jackets. Maybe not as much as Philip likes denim jackets, because that's not...
To be fair, I have one denim jacket, which I was hornswoggled into buying, which is a whole other episode, but yes.
You just hear about it all the time.
Yeah. Also, that's how old I am, as I said the word hornswoggled. that's why we have Leanne on, is to bring a younger voice to this show.
I was born in 1993, guys.
my soul.
Jeez.
So you got a lot out of Levi. Levi's a little bit older than 1993, so they've been around a while.
Oh, what is it, 100 plus years? 165 years?
Yeah, it's right. Ancient brand, reinventing themselves.
So I'm very interested in stories when it comes to brands. I think stories are everything. And Levi's was talking about two things during their talk. One of them was the history of how Levi's came to be, which is really interesting in that miners used to tear their jeans when they would be working, and Levi's sought to fix that problem, which is really cool, right? Because like, miners are not really, it's not a profession that's so acclaimed
right
now.
It's like the original sort of customer feedback loop, right, is what they were talking
about.
Right,
miners.
Right.
Miners were the original reviewers.
Right. Product roadmap development from customer feedback, which is, it's been around forever.
Levi's is really cool also because they're bringing this customizable aspect to fashion. We've talked about personalization so much on the show, right? Personalization is everything.
Right. Speaking of, we actually sat down, we had lunch with... one of the folks from Speed Factory, from Adidas Speed Factory, which I was really impressed with their sort of rapid development and, you know, which had a very similar story to Levi's about
right.
fulfillment being part of the manufacturing and supply chain, in that they're making products closer to fulfillment nowadays, which is, you know, instead of taking 3 years to make a product, they're spending 3 weeks making products, which I think is really impressive.
Evolution in supply chain is allowing customization to actually be a real yep. way to go to market,
yeah.
not just like a sideshow.
Just-in-time customization
exactly.
is happening very near to the customer. Yeah, and Levi's talked all about that.
It was so cool.
Yeah.
The guy, and you know what I loved about Levi's is I was talking about this with someone as I was walking breakfast this morning. Companies don't wear their own products on, like a lot of CEOs, they don't wear their own products on stage. I just want Gap CEO to like walk on stage
right.
in his own clothes, like
right.
in Gap clothes. Levi's like the.
It's Mark Rosen.
Mark Rosen.
He just won the Robin Report's Retail Radical of the Year.
Oh wow. I just think that brand authenticity and sort of having a true believer as evangelist of your product, that's important. I've overheard a lot, by the way, the lunch tables and breakfast tables are the best places in all of Shop Talk.
Oh yeah, totally.
You hear so much gossip. It's amazing.
Yeah. Lots of like interesting people to sit down and talk with, like
yeah.
everyone's there. It's always really good conversations at the Shop Talk lunchroom.
Yeah, and people you wouldn't expect to run into. I think you guys had a long conversation with Tasty Cake, I think, yesterday?
No. No, it was Flowers. And they own Dave's Killer Bread
gotcha.
And a bunch of other Wonder Bread and a bunch of others.
Oh, Wonder Bread. Oh, yeah.
They're implementing a new line of gluten-free bread, which I am very excited about.
Yeah, which you would
about.
Be excited about, I
yeah.
think, yeah.
Swarovski was at my table this morning.
Oh wow! So yeah, you get to interact with the actual brands, people from the
yeah.
brands.
No, Flowers Food, really really interesting brand, really cool stories
yeah.
that they've brought to the table. And like Dave's Killer is actually it's the staple in my household.
Wow!
So it's just really
so
fun
you're a personal fan.
I'm a personal fan.
And,
yeah,
you know, and I'm sitting next to Adidas. So I'm a personal fan. I overheard some interesting conversation. You know, I like hearing what people are challenged with. And I've heard more than one group of retailers talking about GDPR.
Yes.
And in fact, I've heard a lot of pain around GDPRs for, you know, U.S.-based brands. Some who won't, you know, I won't mention them by name. Certainly wouldn't want to. I didn't interact with them. They didn't say it was okay to talk about it on the show. But specifically in the area of consulting and Google cracking down on sort of international access and delisting in some cases for people who aren't complying.
Big brands
you know.
Yeah.
Brands that have big brick and mortar stores right around the corner from your house. And that blows my mind. And they seem to be challenged with it in a way that they feel like they've come to an impasse. There's not really a path forward.
And this brings up something we've talked about before, but like we're really seeing the impact of now, which is basically if you're a major worldwide organization or government or
yeah.
collection of authorities, and you do something that you know affects your organization, but it's related to the internet or to commerce, because of Google, because we have these
right.
multinational brands and,
yeah.
and companies that are running the internet effectively, your impact is more than just the group that you're making this rule about.
Right.
And so you can actually set worldwide trends
sure.
by creating regulations or requirements or standards that now the U.S. is going to have to take part.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what it comes down to, is that we have a global economy.
Yes.
And the European Union goes, so does the rest of the world. I think as California goes, so does the rest of America. When they do exercise outsized control
right.
Over global commerce just based on, you know, on how their populace and based on their influence in global marketplaces. Very interesting. You know, one thing that I sort of see missing, and I talked about it in our preview of Shop Talk a few episodes ago, is not a lot of people talking about voice.
Yeah.
I've seen that sort of absent. it's an interesting absence here, and I don't get the sense, and this is what I was curious about before the show, I don't get the sense that it's because everybody's solved it and they're doing it well.
Right.
Right?
It's just not, it's not a channel that people are selling through, and it's just not a channel that people are buying from.
Not yet.
And the truth is, like, it's just the capability isn't really there yet.
But I don't think that people are saying, okay, now I'm going to, like, I know I harp on this a lot. I don't think anybody says, okay, now I'm going to use voice search. You use it on your phone all the time.
All the time, right.
A lot of people use voice dictation. A lot of people use voice search. Many people are using voice assistants and, like, home assistants or voice assistants on phones. It's ingratiated. I don't know that the line to commerce it's way more dotted than we thought it was 2 years ago.
It's certainly not an end-to-end experience, like, that people are taking part in.
I still use it for Amazon, but that's about it.
Yeah, for reorder?
Right. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, even for product search.
Yeah.
You know, I'll decide, we need kitty litter. We always buy the same kitty litter, and we just, shout it out.
You have a show?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, that helps, I think, as well.
It helps a lot.
Yeah, because, like, voice in a vacuum doesn't really, or, like, by itself, standalone, doesn't really, it's not very conducive to commerce.
I do it all over the house, though. I will say this, like, having a show definitely does display results, but when you're interacting on a non-display Alexa platform, you will still, it'll push results to your phone.
Yeah.
So the Alexa app will have the results. It's not, it's actually kind of maybe, it's a less seamless experience only because I'm using voice because I don't have my phone in my hand. If I had my phone, if I was using my phone,
right.
If I had my phone, I wouldn't be talking into an empty room.
Really good point. Really good point.
So anyway, I think that's obviously consumers feel the same way. And we're seeing brands, sort of, I don't want to say they've abandoned it, but I don't hear anyone talking about it. You know what I don't hear anyone talking about is how, their investment in voice didn't pay off or they failed. And what they've redirected it to. So, it's just kind of died in conversation, which, I was interested to hear more about. Sorry, go ahead. You were going.
Oh, no, I just wanted to come back to something that Leanne said just a minute ago about Shop Talk being good about promoting and, like, being engaged.
Yeah.
And I think that it's really reflective of, I think, kind of where this show is headed. What I mean by that is... The founders just announced Retail Club,
right?
Which is a new initiative by the Shop Talk Group. It's essentially a year-round, localized club for retailers and merchants to get together and talk about similar stuff that we're talking about now. Really cool initiative. It's just announced. It's brand new. Really interested to see how it kind of plays out for sure.
Sure.
But I think that it's reflective of I think where. This show is headed. It's not just about this one big event. It's about ongoing conversations.
And if they can create communities,
localized communities,
right?
Yep.
And we've seen others try to do it. I mean, in particular, I'm very active in the startup community in Palm Beach. I'm very active in our in our local founders groups and in our tech investment communities and meetups.
Yeah.
And that's, I think everything starts at the local level.
Yes.
And if they can find people to champion it. Oh, I heard the best thing ever, by the way. I have to attribute this, and I'm going to try to search while I talk about it, but I believe it was somebody that I follow in the startup world on Twitter, and I'll try to attribute it after the fact, or Leanne will have to do the due diligence to find it and put it in the show notes. Sorry, Leanne.
that's fun.
So somebody said that brands and startups need champions, not heroes, because heroes die.
Yes.
Heroes, sacrifice themselves for a cause. Champions... create other champions. Champions multiply themselves. And when someone's a champion of a brand or someone's a champion of an initiative, in this case, if Shop Talk can find a local champion in a market to help create community for them, then Shop Talk and actually everybody in the ecosystem will benefit from it, and it will inspire others to be champions as well.
Yes.
We don't need heroes. Heroes are self-sacrificial. Heroes are...
Well, you know, let me add a little bit to that. I think that having a few heroes doesn't hurt, but you also need champions. Like, having a few heroes that are out there, like, putting it all out there, and they'll probably burn out at some point. Having those people out there, like, that are so passionate and so invested and just, like, putting themselves on the line, you need a few of those people. But to really, really, really have a sustained effect, sustained beneficial effect on retailers, you do need those champions. You're 100% right.
Yeah.
And so building those out, like, maybe you have to have the hero, like, get that going.
Well, I think that we've seen a lot of that in various, we've seen that in a lot of various ways. In fact, by the way, I'm just looking this up. This is an oft-repeated, this has been talked about for quite a while, apparently.
Yeah.
So I found an article on Forbes from Leslie Bradshaw, and basically saying this exact same thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's around the context of female founders. I think when you have a person who sort of, we all can be inspired by somebody who will sacrifice themselves, but it's very rare that has sustaining power for decades. And you know, what I'm saying is to create truly lasting initiatives, we have to have sustainable leadership. Right? And sustainable leadership, not everybody's doing only one thing these days. You need people that can buy into the mission of your organization, that, you know, or buy into the mission of Shop Talk, or that can buy into your mission and help you with your mission in a way that doesn't find them in burnout in a year's time.
Right.
Right? Because that doesn't help anybody.
No, it doesn't. And burnout happens.
Oh,
like,
sure.
I think that...
Oh, especially in this industry.
Exactly.
Big time.
I think that part of the future of commerce is making sure that retail becomes a more sustainable place to work and grow. And I think that comes from forming communities, like having support systems, having places for people to go and you know, share experiences and get connected. And so I'm really excited about Retail Club. I think it's a great idea. I'm really excited to see how it plays out. And I really applaud the founders of Shop Talk and their teams for going this route.
Right.
Because they could have gone a lot of different routes.
Sure.
So I like it.
Okay. Can we do a lightning round of what we're excited to see?
Well, can I say one more thing about something that I have seen that I was excited about?
Oh, yeah. Do that. For sure.
I caught the majority of Ian Friedman's session with three different brands. It was really the end. He questioned them about clienteling, because I think that right now clienteling is...
You're going right where I want to go. This
okay,
is great.
Cool.
Yeah.
Clienteling is such a big part of the most innovative technologies that are here at this show.
Yes.
And that's actually, so that's why I wanted to lead in to what we're excited about for the rest of the show. Like, I think Ian was right on point to ask his panelists about this. Clienteling is where we're headed this year with our technology, with changes to how we do operations, the changes of how we interact with our clients.
Right.
Like, all of these things are, like, top of mind. And Ian from Goldman Sachs Ventures was, like, nailing it with his panel and the line of questioning and how to deal with data. It's actually a lot about what we talked about yesterday. And so a couple brands that really came to mind were Hero, who we've talked about before, and also Gladly is super interesting brand that I met with yesterday.
Yeah.
And I think we might try to get them on the show as well.
Yeah.
But they're doing it's a customer service platform. But really what it means is it's a unified platform for client interactions so that you can have a better relationship, and it's a seamless relationship.
Yeah.
And I was talking to the founder, and he was basically talking about how he interacts with his wife. And it's like, you interact in a lot of different ways in a lot of different places, and in different at different times during the day, but it's all one engaged conversation. It's not some series of tickets that you've put together to interact with your customer, with your wife.
Right.
Same thing with customers. This is one long conversation. So I'm super excited about technologies like that that are helping retailers and brands actually have a better relationship with their customer. This gets back to what Ingrid Millman was saying a few episodes ago about how your relationship with your customer should supersede your even your own brand story. This is where we're at.
Future Commerce is brought to you by PayPal. Did you know cart abandonment is 86% higher on mobile than desktop? PayPal has collaborated with 15 Magento system integrators in high conversion to help close the mobile gap while delivering an improved buying experience. The Mobile E-Commerce Optimization Initiative was formed to understand why the gap in mobile and desktop conversions persist and to provide practical industry insights to help e-commerce providers succeed in mobile sales. Participating merchants can choose from a range of standardized checkout optimization experiments that make sense for their business model. For additional details on how to get involved, results to date, and testing methodology, visit mobileoptimize.org today.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex provides cloud and on-premise solutions that can be tailored to specific industries. For every major line of tax, including sales and use, income, value added, and payroll, Vertex Cloud is the SaaS solution that automates sales and use tax, including calculation and returns. With multiple service levels and flexible pricing models, Vertex Cloud meets the sales and use tax needs for businesses of all sizes. From recognizable brands like Honda, Pepsi, Verizon, and small businesses the world over. Find out more today at vertexsmb.com and be sure to mention Future Commerce Podcast to get 15 months for the price of 12. Once again, that's vertexsmb.com.
I think that there's, like you said, there's Gladly, there's a few that I think are differential at the show that are presenting at the show. I'm really excited to meet with Zuvu later on.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Zuvu is kind of blowing my mind, and I'm sure that we're on, just like Affirm was sort of the first of its ilk, and now there's a million copycats, I'm sure it wasn't the first. It was the first, sort of consumer.
One that blew up.
Consumer awareness was very heightened around Affirm. Now you have a bunch. There's Afterpay and QuadPay and, a lot of payment technologies. Zuvu is sort of the first customer engagement platform that I've noticed that is 100% focused on guided commerce.
Yes.
And 100% focused on, really trying to build out tools for merchants to ask their customers specifically what they're looking for and try to guide them to the right products and do it in a really thoughtful way and to have it in a way that's sustainable. Because anybody can build a quiz with engineering. It's really hard to build a quiz builder that can be applied to so many different industries. And they're working with some of the biggest brands in the world, big consumer brands, and everything from appliances to athletic equipment to apparel. And when you ask your customers questions and they answer them, you learn something about them, and you can use that to drive every other part of your business. I don't know why there aren't 30 of these companies, or why there aren't, why we don't see this in more marketing platforms. I think that the
Tribbles, man. Where's the Tribbles?
Yeah, it's the Tribbles. I really think that what this should be a massive component of site engagement platforms that already exist. So if Castora is not doing this, Castora is its own thing. I sort of bucket them in sort of CRM. This is really a function of CRM.
Yes.
Because you're learning about your customer. Now, there is a product engagement at the end of it and maybe a product decision, but you're really, the point is to learn more about your customer.
Totally.
So all of the marketing platforms need something like this built in.
I 100% agree. If you take Zuvu and Gladly together, that's the future of customer engagement.
Yeah, it is.
100%.
Yeah. One cohesive conversation with your customer that you inform you know, all of your other decision making, that including site experience, you know, thereafter with it, and, you know, and you take something like Super Personal and you put them into the site, and
oh my gosh,
you know, game over. It's a completely different.
I want to go start a brand, just any brand right now, and run that combo because it will be successful.
Yeah. I you still have to have great product,
of course,
and you still have to do all the other things correctly. But I think, you know, today, the way that we do customer interaction today is very different to what it was 2 years ago. In fact, the way that we sell online is less platforms centric. It's very platform agnostic, right? It used to be that e-commerce platform. We were saying this in the pre-show, and I think we would be better. We would be better served in our industry if we didn't have such tribalism around certain technologies. There's a lot of tribalism in, like, nobody cares if you're using a certain tax provider. Nobody cares if you're partnered with five, you know, email service providers or, you know, seven payments companies. But for whatever reason, e-commerce platforms are incredibly divisive.
Well, I think it's because
they're incredibly competitive against each other. In a way that the others aren't really.
Same with ERP.
Sure.
I think ERP is exactly... So ERP and e-com, and then to a lesser degree, OMS.
Yeah.
But that's because they hold the glass, right?
Oh, sure.
Those three platforms are basically what everyone drives their business out of.
Sure.
And so there's all of the other technologies we're looking at here sort of revolve around those three main points.
Well, for sure. What I'm saying is that the customer doesn't care what e-commerce platform they're using. You know what the customer cares about is making sure they find the right product
right.
and that they have a joyful experience from end to end. And you could do that on any e-commerce platform, but the way you do it in 2019 looks very different to what you did in 2016 or 17.
Yes.
It is not slice and dice e-commerce anymore.
Right.
I want to tell you what I'm looking for, and I want you to tell me what might fit my needs, and then I want to make a decision from there.
Yeah, it's not search and browse.
Right.
That's not e-commerce in 2019.
And maybe we're wrong. I don't think we are.
I don't think we are.
I think that the industry is lagging behind what the customer really wants. And when you look at a story like Levi's, when they say that they're trying to get away from being a showroom, and they want to put collaboration at the center of their stores, that is where we're going.
Yes.
Because that is the conversation. Like, they took the tailor shop, which used to be in the back corner, and they put it in the center of their store because what they're trying to do is have a conversation with every customer.
Yes.
It's not a showroom anymore. So I believe that as brick and mortar goes, digital will follow. And for whatever reason, digital is following a brick and mortar retail experience renaissance. And we're trying to change the way that we interact with customers face to face. The tables are flipped, because I would have said that 5 years ago that we were mimicking paradigms in the real world on digital. That is 100% what we are going to be doing in digital in this year and next year, because we just haven't figured it out yet. That
right.
It's not about search and browse. It's not about category anymore. It's actually way more about customer engagement.
Yeah, totally agree. I think search and browse has its place, like with Amazon and Walmart and Target.
Yeah.
Right?
But not every retailer, and certainly not a lot of direct-to-consumer brands, are Walmart, Amazon, and Target.
Exactly, exactly.
They don't have that challenge.
They don't need it. They don't need to be,
But they're using platforms that are capable of serving those customers. You don't, like, if you're a shoe brand and you have, if you're Allbirds and you have five silhouettes, you don't need, like, the way that you do category browse is fundamentally different to the way that Target does category browse.
Exactly. Totally agree.
Cool.
That was a fun conversation.
But this is, I think we've been talking about this since NRF.
Yes.
And this is what we've been on, and it just keeps coming back, and it's we're seeing it over and over and over and over again. You know what? I'm correcting myself. I'm going to go correct myself.
Okay.
One brand that is actually talking a lot about voice is KFC.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
And I heard them talk a lot about it at Future
Young
Stores.
Young brands.
Right. But in particular, enabling not a consumer experience, but a back-of-house management experience, a sort of workforce enablement. One thing they talked about at Future Stores, and I'm interested to hear from them more about at Shop Talk, is one of their mandates is to try to make working at KFC stores such an enjoyable experience that you don't want to go work somewhere else. And part of that is enabling that joyful experience back of house with technology. Because you like being able to do your job in a way that's fun and engaging and exciting and actually makes it way better than working at any other competitor across the street is the differentiator. It's not just about wage.
Dude, that gets back to our predictions episode.
Right.
Where we said that brands are going to have to invest in their retail workers. Training, technology, and wages. And, you know, if you're not investing in wages, you need to be investing in training and technology because you're going to have to find a way to retain your employees. Turnover for retail employees is at a ridiculous high right now.
Right.
Like, even the lowest, you know, lowest entry point for retail has very, very, very high turnover right now.
Right.
And so...
But if we are automating out the jobs that have high turnover, like the front of house, you know, menial tasks that probably no human should be doing anyway, you know, taking verbal orders and punching them into a kiosk is a demeaning and task for a human being, right? Like I mean,
work is not demeaning.
No, but I'm saying that particular task. I see what you're saying.
Yes.
And I actually agree with that sentiment. I'm saying that there are other places. I'm of the opinion that even though we're displacing retail workforce minimum wage jobs with that sort of technology, we're actually enabling middle wage jobs with technology innovation.
Totally.
And investment. And you look at, you know, the growth of cloud, and those things are all running on clouds and running on private clouds. Software companies are benefiting from it. It's just moving out of where.
Let's replace the entry level positions that honestly no one really wants to do.
Right.
And replace them with like more skilled positions with better tools.
There's somebody out there screaming at their car radio right now, and I kind of want your input and your opinion here because I'm sure there's a fundamentally different point of view around this. I do think the living wage is important. I might even be a fan of universal income. What I'm trying to say is that the consumer is capable of doing that job for themselves.
Yes.
And so they're going to be much. If we can empower the consumer to do that job that people ostensibly don't want anyway, then and move it out of the hands of that. So anyway, I think KFC is doing that. I think they're trying to do that. I think they're trying to do it in places that are unexpected, and that's really impressive.
Yes.
And I'm sure that there are other... This is shop talk, right? This isn't just retail talk, right? This is shop talk, and we're talking about anybody that has a customer is at the show. There's a lot of food brands at the show.
That absolutely.
Not just CPG, not just grocery. You're talking about a lot of like fast food, a lot of people that are retail.
Yes.
They really are. They're restaurant, but they're brands that people are passionate about that are trying to do innovative things with technology.
So before we wrap up, because we're running out of time in the booth here, one thing I did want to touch on, and we just because we haven't talked about it yet, is all the announcements about store closings.
Oh my gosh.
Crazy talk. Gap, Victoria's Secret, you know, big brands that are just, I mean, CoreSite's already projecting 5,500 store closings this year. Hmm. Already projecting that. Let alone any announcements that come later this year.
Right.
That's a lot of store closings. Like, 2 years ago, it was over 8,000. Last year was over 5,000, I think.
Yeah.
And so... to already be at 5,500 projected on the year.
Yeah.
Like, I think that we're going to see another year of, like, even more store closings than we did last year.
One of the things that came back to our predictions episode was I was talking about the repurpose of retail space as transportation hubs. Like, Lyft made an announcement recently about doing just that for reduced rates and reduced fare. One of the people I follow on Twitter, who's a transportation enthusiast, actually West Palm Beach native, was specifically talking about we're 4 to 5 years out from Uber and Lyft basically being able to cry and say that they're so pivotal and fundamental for and foundational for transportation in cities that they require subsidy, and so the circle goes. Like we're very close to. So even if retail, let's say that all these retail closures actually become other, and Tesla, by the way, Tesla closing their retail stores,
right.
And they're going 100% e-commerce direct to consumer, which that's a whole other ball of wax. I know you don't like talking about Elon.
No, I don't. I'm done talking about Elon.
So, but here's the issue. Like those, I don't know that we are over-retailed. I think that there's a repurpose like coming for a lot of the space that's available. But even so, it doesn't mean we're on a trajectory for something that's actually transformational. You know, even the disruption we see in transportation. There are people out there who are anticipating for that to just go full circle and still require subsidies, still require, you know, the government to assist them and to prop them up. They can't probably, I don't know how many can exist for 20 years like Amazon did without turning profits. Lyft is filing for IPO.
Right.
There's a lot of interesting things that are happening. Somebody's going to start demanding a return for, you know, on the shareholder side. You know, in the next 10 years, on someone in those industries. So from a store closure perspective, I mean, CoreSite's projecting that sounds like it's steady from last year to this year.
Yes.
Right.
But that's without any additional announcements.
Right.
So like we could see some other big announcements now. We're only in March, the beginning of March. Like, there's a lot of year left.
Yeah.
A lot of year left, so.
And we saw a pretty anemic Q4 on the retail side.
For some.
Yeah, some pretty disappointing numbers.
For some
brands.
Yeah.
Even some that, you know, have been lauding their growth in e-commerce, over the years. So I don't know. It's interesting. Can you think of one off the top of your head that had a great Q4?
Walmart.
Yeah.
I mean, that gets back to, I think Walmart's making a lot of good moves.
Best Buy. Shocking.
Yeah.
There's a turnaround.
Yep.
What I love is on the earnings beat, you know, the immediate retail, like you would have seen 5 articles in the last month about how Best Buy, you know, is going to be one of the next to bite the dust. And on the earnings beat earlier this week, 2 hours after market close, we get a glowing story about how they've invested in emotional intelligence and, you know, created showrooms for the stores and embraced price matching. And that's thus the turnaround of Best Buy. And I'm like,
you just rolled your eyes right there.
Oh, yeah.
For people that are listening.
Yeah. Oh, I rolled my eyes so hard. Anybody wants to make a story out of the current state, we'll see where it actually goes.
I mean, if you look at the brands that are closing their stores, though, again, I think this gets back to something you said in the predictions episode, which is, this isn't retail apocalypse. This is just the death of boring retail. Like,
yeah.
And also a shift in culture. Like,
yeah.
People don't want to really buy from Gap anymore. Like Leanne was just saying, like, does the CEO from Gap actually wear Gap clothes onto the stage?
Someone should fact check that.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true or not, but like,
know. But Gap is a big brand and has, like, it could be wearing Banana Republic. I don't know.
Sure. Right? No, definitely so, could.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to say that he does or doesn't. I'm just saying, like, if he did, I wouldn't even be that excited about it. My point here is, like, I think that Gap and Victoria's Secret haven't really evolved their brands to match what our culture and what consumers are looking for in a brand. For the past, 10 years.
It's because I don't think consumers know what they're looking for.
Well, you have a brand like Lively come on our show.
Right.
I think consumers do know what they're looking for. Like,
I think they have to be shown it. They couldn't tell you.
Sure.
They couldn't tell you what they're looking for until they see it. That's one of the problems.
Right.
Right? They couldn't tell you that they're dissatisfied with their engagement with Best Buy until they're more satisfied with their engagement somewhere else.
Right.
And I personally think it's all about choice. The last time I bought from Best Buy actually was last week, and it was because I pre-ordered a video game for my kids because it wasn't available for pre-order on Amazon.
Right.
It was only available exclusively for pre-order on Best Buy.
Well played.
As I just actually just don't care. I want the product.
Right.
It doesn't matter where I'm shopping.
Yes.
Because that's the kind of product that I just don't care where I get it. If it's going to be shipped to my house and it's going to get there on the day it comes out and I can pre-order it ahead of time.
Then you'll buy it from Rakuten.
I will buy it. Yes, and I will.
Yeah.
I
did
care.
Too.
Yeah. So it's just one of those things that I think the consumer isn't as opinionated as we're giving them credit for, but they will, when they see something that is better, they will go there. But it has to exist and it has to be real, unlike Magically. Like it has to actually be a real thing that's tangible that they can grab onto. It can't be an idea.
Hey man, Magically, you may have been right about.
Yeah, I think we'll see how that plays out. All right, so there's so much show left. We still have another day and a half. I'm personally looking forward to today's keynotes. Yesterday I sat in through Mattel a little bit. I'm hoping we pick up a little bit. A lot of that conversation and the keynotes yesterday, I think, were fine, but weren't quite hitting on the mark for me. So I'm really excited to hear a little bit later today.
Well, and maybe we will hear a little bit more about voice today.
Yeah.
Today's the day.
Alexa talk.
Today's the day.
Yeah. So so really looking forward to the Amazon talk. I'm really looking forward to, we're right now, I feel like we've captured on our show the sentiment of where we are and where we're going. I think it's more fuzzy now than ever where the next couple years are heading. And I think we're sort of in an inflection point. What I would hate to see, like the show floor at a show like this, I was talking to the folks at Speed Factory and Adidas, is, the technology vendors here and the show, the expo floor, and the people that are present and attending the show aren't the ones that are actually the trendsetters. It's the brands themselves.
Right.
And if you're not in the talks and you're not in the keynotes and you're not in the tracks listening to what they're saying and forecasting where they're going, you're missing the actual roadmap of the future of commerce. You can't get that from tweets, and you're not going to get it from, the vendors that are expo and
right.
expo hall.
No, if you're going to just walk around and look at the vendors, you've got to do a lot of piecing together in order to make it happen. But I totally agree with you. I was just talking to someone, and I said that exact thing. Like, a friend of mine was like, I mean, you guys are in commerce every day. You're researching it for the show, right? And I was like, yeah, but like I need to be in these talks because the content at Shop Talk is where the forefront of what brands are actually doing and how they're like making leaps and bounds and strides towards better engaging with the customers.
Yeah.
That's being talked about here and really like in ways that it's not being talked about elsewhere.
I know I said it a couple episodes ago now, but And you're going to hear me keep harping on Levi's because I'm very inspired by it. Which, by the way, I haven't talked at all about the Barneys half of that actual presentation, which I was actually also very inspired by. But that's a whole other topic. Maybe we could talk about that later. If you only took the retail pundit view on Levi's about using frickin' laser beams, to decorate jeans, you're going to miss the point of that they're wanting to transform how they engage with their customer. And you're not going to get that story from retail press. You're only going to get that story from hearing them broadcast and talk about where they want to be and who they want to be and where they want to go. Now, whether they actually do it or not, or whether they can be successful or not, I think it's not important. It's really important that we understand how they're thinking about themselves.
Yes.
Levi's isn't the only one. I freaking love this show. I actually have a really great time at Shop Talk.
Me too.
Okay, great. This has been awesome. I want to hear more from you. Brian, do you want to hear more from our audience?
100%.
Tell them how much you want to hear from me.
Well, I would say a lot. If you had to put a number to it, that number would be a lot.
Where can they do that?
Come to futurecommerce.fm or anywhere you really can find podcasts and listen in, leave feedback. Hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up on Instagram.
Man, Instagram is where it's at right now. It's crazy.
And LinkedIn. Don't forget LinkedIn, because we love LinkedIn.
Yeah, we have a lot of engagement on all those platforms. And we want to hear your voice in this conversation. Make sure to reach out. Okay, with that, retail tech moves fast.
We're moving faster.
We are moving. I'm moving a little slower right now. I'm going to have some coffee. Move really fast.
After the coffee.
All right, bye.
Bye.